gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1234. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me here, the one and only Paris Lilly. Look, when we record, we usually do a countdown. I'm super nice, and Paris left me a 30 to 40 second message. I don't know where he said it. He had everything on mute, but he was looking at the camera, just going like this, pointing at me the whole time. So I'm nervous to hear his audio. I'm very nervous. Wow. How are you, Paris? That's your intro. Wow.
I love how... See, once again, you put the private business out on Front Street. Why you do that? Why you always put private on public?
It's the truth.
Who are you, Elon? Is this the Gamertag Radio files? Are you exposing everything?
Files? Gamertag Radio files? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Twitter's weird. Twitter's very, very weird, but whatever. Yeah, everybody, thank you for watching the live stream and also listening to the podcast. P is not going to be joining us this week. Hopefully you join us in the future. And yeah, P, shout out to you, man. I know he's in somewhere in the States. And Paris also says that the cake is a lie. And there you go. The cake is a lie. All right. For those that are listening, make sure to head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You can find us there. We have a lot of content. Make sure to listen to it, share it. Or you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Follow us and post a review or subscribe. Support us. Shout out to everybody that's been listening to us throughout the whole year. I got the stats, the Spotify Wrapped for podcasters. We're doing pretty good, man. Pretty good. It grew this year, listenership, which is great. And yeah, shout out to you guys, man. Also, if you'd like to leave a voicemail, feedback, comments, or hate comments to either me or Paris, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Okay, Paris, what's going on with this cake thing? You're excited.
I'm doing a screenshot. But speaking of the cake being a lie, I might as well just say it now. Sure. So thanks to NVIDIA, this is technically sponsored, what I'm about to say. But NVIDIA on December 6th at 10 a.m. over at their Twitch channel, twitch.tv/NVIDIA, they're having a party for Portal. It's called the Portal Party. It is to celebrate the launch of Portal RTX. I put a little video out the other day, basically announcing that invitation. So again, make sure you go check it out. And also, you can go over to the Steam page for Portal and you can put it on your wish list for Portal RTX. And like I said, they're having a party on their Twitch channel at 10 a.m. Pacific on December 6th. And it's going to be hosted by Kind of Funny. So if you don't want to go to the Twitch channel for NVIDIA, go to the Kind of Funny Twitch channel and you can watch the celebration at 10 a.m. Pacific on December 6th for Portal RTX.
So I'm invited too. I'm invited too because Paris said no. He said no at first, and I had to go around and ask some people like, "Hey man, just invite me, brother man. Just invite me." Paris is not hooking it up, and they got me in, so I'm also part of the party. No, shout out to NVIDIA, man. Shout out to NVIDIA. I'm very curious to see the stuff that they have for that event. That's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yeah, and Portal's a classic.
Yes.
Classic Portal. Yeah. By the way, Paris, I know this is not PC gamer radio, but I'm really enjoying this 4080. It's pretty good. Really, really enjoying this. All right. So we have a voicemail that I feel like this is like the right one and the right way to start the show. I think this is a great conversation we could have. Also, the Game Awards is in a couple of days. We could talk about that. I know Paris attended the Through the Spaces with Jeff Keighley. And we have a couple other things we're going to talk about. So I'm going to play this voicemail. Shout out to Keon. Shout out to him because he's always sending us voicemails. And look, for those who are listening, because there's a lot of you guys, I would love to get voicemails from you guys too. Just send it to us and I'll put it on the show. You have the power to create some great content. Help us create great content. Just call us, all right? All right, so this is the first voicemail that I'm going to put up here. This is from Keon. It's a long one. It's like a two-minute voicemail, so bear with me. Check it out.
What's going on, Gamertag Radio? How are you good brothers doing? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just had a quick question for you guys. Why is the Xbox community, not as a whole, but some, celebrating the fact that Xbox won Black Friday and celebrating more so the fact that they did it without having any great games on the platform? I do not understand when this became a Xbox fan standard for some, not all, to celebrate a console selling and winning Black Friday without giving you any compelling software. I just don't understand how that correlates. I don't understand what that does for you as a gamer, that a company simply sold more consoles and still didn't give you any games. I don't know. It seems like in the Xbox community, what I really wanted to ask you guys about, use that to just lead the conversation. But now the biggest thing that's happening, at least it's in the rumorville, as it were, that Microsoft is not going to be showing off anything at the Game Awards because they want to appear weak and feeble for this Activision deal to go through. My question to you, Danny, Pete, and Paris is, do you think this is true? Do you think that Xbox is going to hold their cards off of the table that they've been holding off of the table for 6 years, as it were, not giving their fan base any AAA amazing gaming titles, in my opinion? Do you think that they will continue this trend and not show anything at the Game Awards because they want to appear weak and feeble? Thank you guys so much for everything that you do. You guys are amazing. And with that being said, you guys have a great day. Bye-bye.
Yo, shout out to Keon. And Keon, my advice, stop following fanboys on social media. This is ridiculous. Stop following fanboys. I don't care if it's Sony, Xbox, Nintendo Switch, whatever. Stop following fanboys.
So you're telling him to stop following you?
Because hey, what are you talking about? I'm not a fanboy, dork. No, here's the thing. This is how people are going to start creating rumors. They're going to start, celebrating nonsense. And look, it's great when a company sells a lot of units during Black Friday. That's a celebration for the company. That's good for gaming overall. That doesn't matter who it is. Nintendo's done it before. Even when Nintendo had no content available out there, like for a long time, they celebrated because it was number one. PlayStation's done it too, and Xbox, which is fine. That to me is not a, I don't have an issue with that. The issue I have is people if somebody's celebrating, let's just say, they're saying, oh no, there's no games. There's people out there that probably feel like, yo, there is games for Xbox. There is a games for PlayStation. You know, like I feel I'm having a great time with the community. I'm having a great time with the content that's available. Doesn't matter if it's first party or third party. It's fine, man. I don't have an issue with companies celebrating, Black Friday. That's a normal thing. Now, the second thing, where I haven't seen this rumor about the Game Awards, Xbox not showing anything. Have you seen it? Because I haven't really seen anything. And go ahead.
To your initial point, I've seen this on some of the, you know, the crazy fanboy Twitter conspiracy.
Oh, no, it's one of those conspiracy theories?
Yeah,
no,
but I'm not. No, Xbox has not officially come out and said, no, we're not showing anything at the Game Awards. I mean, obviously, they haven't announced they are showing anything either. So we'll see. But their track record the past few years is they've had some, you know, they've had an announcement. There, I mean, obviously, they showed the Series X there. That was probably the biggest thing. They've shown Hellblade 2. We've gotten Perfect Dark there. So I'd imagine we at least get something. I couldn't see Xbox just going completely dark for the Game Awards this year, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, if this is a big year for Xbox, let's say coming up, right, with a lot of content, which they mentioned that during the game showcase, during the summer and all that stuff, right? Then they're probably gonna have something to show. I don't know about nothing for the company to appear weak. What the hell? That's the dumbest strategy, honestly, because not everybody's gonna follow that. You know what I'm saying? So I think we're gonna see something. You know, there's a lot of big games coming out early next year. Redfall, Starfield. There's a lot of independent games too that's coming out. ID at Xbox. Like, it's gonna be a great year for Xbox, you know. Same thing with PlayStation. I think they're going to show a couple things, hopefully, you know, for the company. And I hope I get to see something about Nintendo too, man. But go ahead. You were going to say something?
Oh, I can say something now?
What? Go ahead.
Because I tried to say something and you jumped in again.
Sorry, I saw you yawning. So I don't know, you're bored.
No. Actually, to address the first part of what he was talking about with the Black Friday thing. I mean, to be honest, I thought it was great to see that the Series S sold as well as it does, because that was a hell of a deal, especially if you got it from Target, because it was what, $250 plus you got a $50 gift card with it, essentially, you know, making the Series S $200. And, you know, we've talked about it, you know, many times over the past couple of years of how much we really like the Series S. And the truth of the matter is, if you don't care about 4K, the Series S is fine. I mean, conspiracy theories aside about it holding back the industry and all this stuff, you know, I've said many times, it has the same exact CPU that the Series X does. It's not holding back next generation gaming. But look, your mileage may vary on what you want to believe on that. But the fact is, in my house, the Series S is the most played thing in my house. That's what my kids play on all day, every day. They don't play on the Series X. They play on the S, and they're fine. I find myself playing on the S a lot as well. So to see them have a huge success for that, and basically to get more units out there during Black Friday into more homes, is a good thing. Because to his point about the gaming stuff this year, look, from Xbox Game Studios, it's light. Matter of fact, I had said on XCast, if you judge them just on Xbox Game Studios, it's a C-. Just is. But there's Game Pass. They've obviously made other, there's been a lot of other third-party games that have come, you know, into the Xbox ecosystem this year, which have been pretty damn good. I mean, hello, Vampire Survivors, right? Mm-hmm. So when you look at that, and then you see what's on the horizon for 2023, again, knock on wood, they deliver on what they're promising, and these games are high quality. I mean, there's a lot to look forward to coming from Xbox, you know, in the next calendar year. A matter of fact, on that, two things. Check out the Lex Friedman podcast. Todd Howard was on there for 3 hours talking about just his history as a developer at Bethesda. But he touched on Elder Scrolls. He touched on, you know, Fallout. But he talked extensively about Starfield. It was a great conversation that he had with Lex Friedman about that. But to that point, I almost feel, and call me crazy, I'm curious what you think about this, Danny. I almost feel, we know what they promised at the Xbox showcase last June, right? The next 12 months. And we know what's coming, quote unquote, the first half of 2023. If they're confident that all those games are going to drop in the first half of 2023, I'm talking Starfield, Minecraft Legends, Redfall, Forza Motorsport, because those are the big internal Xbox Game Studio games. Have another event in January. You know, online thing, doesn't have to be in person or something. Kind of refresh everybody's memories about these games. Put dates on them. That's what I would do. You don't have to give it to Keeley at the Game Awards. You could do your own thing. Like I said, it could be an online thing. You know, they could do it at their own internal studio where they film a lot of this stuff. Just refresh everybody's memories. Starfield's coming this date. Redfall's coming this date. Forza's coming this date. Minecraft Legends is coming this date. Kind of reset the deck, set the roadmap for the first half of the year, get people excited about the stuff coming from their internal studios. I think that would go a long way to ease people's minds about the upcoming year for Xbox, because they got to deliver. I mean, we've said this many times. They have to deliver this year. Excuses are done. We can't blame the pandemic anymore. Can't this, that, and the other. You got to start delivering these games, because the crazy thing about it is, if you go back to the 2020 showcase when they debuted the Series X and the S, the only game that they showed that has actually shipped was Halo.
Oh, and snap. Yeah, you're right.
And we know, right. And we know what Halo has gone through, you know, the last couple of years, or last year or so, I should say. So they got to start delivering. And it was funny going back to that Todd Howard interview. Todd Howard straight up said it's interesting for them from his standpoint, going in as the lead game, like we're the flagship game, you know, for X, not only for Bethesda, but for Xbox now with Starfield. In other words, it has to deliver. They know it. I guarantee you there is internal pressure on themselves, as it always should be, because you want to deliver the best product possible. But Starfield, you delayed it. He explained why they delayed it. Made total sense. But okay, you got the extra time. It has to be a good game. It just has to be. There's no, well, kind of, well, maybe. No. It's got to be a good game. They know it. We know it. It's the expectation now. This is the game that they're going to wave the flag on for the first half of the year going into the holiday of 2023, which whatever they'll deliver then. But this is the game that has to carry Xbox this year. It's Starfield, 100%. So, you know, to Keon's point and your point, Danny, get out of the fanboy conspiracy stuff. Just look at what is actually being delivered. Yes, they were light this year on games from their internal studios, 100%. Game Pass delivered a ton of third-party games that were good. Had a great time, you know, playing those games. Look, even what's coming here in December, you know, and early January for Game Pass looks very solid as well. But yes, they know this was a bad year for them because their two big games got delayed. It's just the reality of it. Starfield and Redfall should have been out. We should have already played those games and reviewed them, but we didn't. And for the right reasons, they needed more time. So now that they're getting more time, we'll judge them in 2023. But the rest of that lineup has to deliver too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's bad in one way, but good in a lot of other ways. I think there was more good than bad for the company, I think, in my opinion. Because here's the thing, and this is the issue that I have with a lot of people, is one game or two gets delayed, and that's it. The company failed throughout the year. I'm like, no, look at the earnings. Look at the subscribers, how many people have been using the service of Game Pass. Oh. Look at the sales of Black Friday. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot. All the stuff that we've been seeing also that's been posted, let's say, on Xbox Wired, of programs that they've been working on, projects with, like, Samsung. Like, it's a lot of good things that have been coming out this year for Xbox that they have never done before. You know what I'm saying? So, again, I think there's more good and bad. Is it perfect? No. Look at the situation now with Halo Infinite that's going on. Like, it's getting a little bit better, but it's not 100% there. You get what I'm saying?
And that's
supposed to be the flagship.
Can we pause on Halo real quick? Because I do think this is significant news. Tom French, the lead multiplayer designer, has left 343. He said that on Twitter like 2 days ago. You can look at it one or two ways. You can look at it as, oh no, the sky is falling. Why is the lead multiplayer designer leaving Halo? This is another more bad news for them. Or maybe it was just simply time for him to move on. And with them internally changing up the leadership model that we know is happening since Bonnie Ross has left, maybe, you know, they're going a different direction with multiplayer. And, you know, maybe there's new leadership and a new idea and direction that's coming in. And he's just simply didn't want to be a part of it. And he's leaving. Like I said, there's definitely two ways to look at it. I will simply say they've put their roadmap out. We know short term what they're doing. Obviously, the winter update. Now, we know season 3 is coming in early March 2023, something like that. Let's see what they're able to do after that. Are they now, because the whole point of that is to now get on the regular cadence of seasons and content and everything coming. If they're able to do that, Halo multiplayer is going to be fine, because if you go play Halo multiplayer, it's fun. I mean, obviously Forge and all that's out now. You're seeing all these crazy maps that are coming out. I mean, dude, somebody recreated the freaking Waffle House in there, and it was accurate.
Oh, really?
That's yeah. dope. Everything about it was accurate, except it was just pristinely clean. That's not a Waffle House I've ever been in, but that's a story for another day. But the point on that is, yeah, I mean, people are doing some amazing things in Forge already. If they're able to get their cadence with their own content coming out, moving forward, I mean, I think the multiplayer will be fine. Now, is that going to be enough to get people to come back? TBD. But seeing the multiplayer designer lead leave, you know, it does, you know, it piques interest. You got to pay attention to that. And we'll obviously see how it plays out going into next year.
Yeah. We have another. This is, again, we usually don't interact a lot with the chat during the recording. But first time chat viewer Creed says, when you have to reference sales, that's not good. That's like saying Sony did well with its film division because Venom made money when the movie isn't good. The quality does matter. Of course, quality does matter. Of course. I'm not saying that everything is all about the sales, but what I'm saying is that people out there are still supporting the company, and there's content out there. It's not like there's nothing to play. Because look, I have PS5, Switch, Xbox, PC, and I'm playing a lot of Xbox games lately. A lot more. Usually, I was playing a lot of, you know, God of War, Ragnarok, Sonic Frontiers, which I got a code, but I got it for PlayStation 5. I was playing it there too, you know. So, there's a lot of games to play. That's the thing I'm trying to say. It's not like there's been years in Paris. We could go back during the Xbox One days, a dry year. Like, there's nothing to play, and I'm like, ugh, this is not good, you know. So it happens before, but I think it's a good year. It's not the end of like the company. That's the thing I'm trying to say, man. It's like saying, and this is the next topic I would like to talk about is, look, I've been playing, and I finished it a couple of days ago, Callisto Protocol. Thank you to the team for sending me the code and for me to play and everything early. I really enjoy the game. I think the game is fun. Love the story. The combat needs a little bit of work. I play the Xbox version, not the PC version. I know there was issues with the PC one, right? I haven't played the PS5 one yet. But I really enjoy the game, right? So the embargo went live. Everybody started posting reviews, right? And the review was mixed. Some was 10, 9, 8 out of 10, right? And there's some like 7, 6, 3 out of 5, stuff like that, right? So is a number gonna change my opinion because I had a great time? No. If I had a great time, I had a great time. And I'm gonna share that to people that follow me, right? It's like saying when the first Destiny came out, I remember that game was getting 6, sometimes even 5 out of 10, right? That never stopped people that I know, especially like, let's say, Paris or Pete, to change their opinion about the game. We still had a great time playing Destiny, right? What I'm trying to say is, it's good to read, you know, read out there, do your research, and you make the decision if you want to buy the game or not. I feel like if you're a fan of horror games, Callisto Protocol is a fun game. Just be ready that the combat is not exactly like other games out there. It's not an open world game, anything like that, right? Once you finish it, I think you're done. Like that, I'm already done with the game. Like, I finished it, completed everything, right? So I just want to say that because I feel like people are thinking just because a game get a 7, like it's a bad game, and it's not. It's not. That's the thing. The thing I'm trying to say. And even if it's getting bad reviews, I just say I had a great time. Like, it's not going to change my opinion about it. You know what I'm trying to say? So, Paris, there's game power for you that got mixed reviews, and you still had a great time playing those games, right? Because I know you were tweeting a lot about opinions and reviews, and so we could start a conversation with that.
Okay, three things. One, yeah. Stop putting my tweets out on the podcast.
First of all, it's public. It's public knowledge. It's public. I'm not stopping. It's a public tweet.
No. Secondly, I'm gonna come back to that in Callisto in a second. But going back to what the original what the person was saying in the chat, just address it from my point of view. You are correct. in what you're saying. If you look at it from a quote unquote competition standpoint compared to what PlayStation has done this year, as an example, right? Got Horizon, obviously God of War was amazing, Last of Us remake, things like that. PlayStation absolutely had some fantastic quality titles this year from their internal studios in comparison to what Microsoft just did, or Xbox. Yes. If you go back to what I was saying previously, yeah, this was a C-minus year for them, for their internal studios. 100%. They just simply didn't have a lot. Pentiment wind up being a very nice surprise, but at no point are we considered that big, some big major AAA release or anything like that. Grounded going 1.0 as another example. Those, the games that should have carried them this year got delayed, and they got delayed for a good reason, because they weren't ready, which now brings me to Callisto Protocol. It wasn't ready. You may have had a good time with it, Danny, because I personally not played it enough to give an opinion, because I have the PC version and it was a freaking mess during the review period. So I have no opinion on Callisto Protocol, because as soon as I started playing, it was stuttering all over the place. So I just put it down. I was like, I'll wait. I know there's a patch out yet. I've just simply not had time, excuse me, post launch to jump in and give a review. So I don't have an opinion when it comes to that, but it wasn't ready. I'll take you back to December 2020. We know what came out in December 2020. Matter of fact, it's almost 2 years to the day as we're recording this. Cyberpunk 2077, another example, wasn't ready. Not necessarily so much on the PC side, but on the console side, we know the disaster that was. And they're just now getting that game to where it should have been at launch on December 2020. This, and you know, our good friend Tony Polanco has been very adamant about this on Twitter as well, just saying that, are we learning our lessons from Cyberpunk in 2020? With this release of Callisto, I say no. We're still seeing broken games come out that are not properly optimized. We know PlayStation jumped in with some of their internal teams to help get this game out and launched. It looks like it, you know, fairly optimized on PlayStation, but not so much on Xbox or PC, which is unfortunate. But to your main point about it, Danny, not every game is going to be perfect, you know. And what I tweeted out was, is that reviews are simply opinions. It's up to you to decide what's worth your time. So like you're saying, Danny, Callisto Protocol was worth your time. You had good time with it. I know like Greg, Blessing, like those guys have played it. But I've seen other reviews out there, like SkillUp just did not like it at all, you know, as an example. But that's the point. It's an opinion. You decide what opinion you want to listen to and which one you don't, or you play the game and judge it for your damn self. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. You brought up the classic example with me. Destiny is the greatest 6.5 game of all time, because here we are 8-9 years later and I'm still playing that game. So, but I know that game is not for everybody, and it's obviously had its ups and downs over the years. Even just bringing Cyberpunk into it, we know that game had a terrible launch. We see where it is now. I quite enjoy it, right? Hell, even The Witcher 3 with that next gen update that's about to come out on December 14th. Wasn't the best at launch. It has some issues at launch, but they wind up patching it. But to the point of reviews and games and what is considered good, what's considered bad, that's up for you to decide. It really is. I mean, we give our opinion. I can only tell you what I play and what I think. But ultimately, it's your money and what you want to spend it on and what you want to play. And I understand the responsibility that we have reviewing games, that people will use our opinions as a gauge. But all we can do is be honest. That's it. We can only be honest about our experience with the game and what we felt about it. You point out the technical issues that you see, obviously. But, you know, as far as were they enough to dissuade you from enjoying the game, you know, it's up to the individual on that. I can tell you right now with the Callisto stuff for me on PC, I was like, I'm not wasting my time with this, because I'm literally not going to sit here and fight through a stuttering mess trying to play this game. So I'll wait. Right. But that was my right to do so. Whereas Danny obviously played on console and he enjoyed it. So that's fine. You know, again, I don't have an opinion, because the technical issues that I saw dissuade me from wanting to play it. So, but that's up to me. I'll give my opinion at some point in the next few weeks when I do sit down and play it. But that you're going to see that with all kind of games. I'm going to tell you right now. Starfield is going to be such a polarizing game. I guarantee it. I don't know if it's going to be from a technical standpoint, because again, they got more time to try and squash all these bugs. So hopefully it's very optimized and polished. But there's going to be something about that game that you're going to see people on different sides of the fence. I guarantee it. I might wind up loving it. Danny might wind up hating it. You never know. But I guarantee that's going to happen when that game comes out. So, and you're going to see that for other stuff too. Look, I probably the only game we'll probably all agree on is Spider-Man 2, because we already know that's going to be a 10. That's going to be amazing. But the point is, gaming is very subjective. Opinions are opinions. Whether you're a reviewer for IGN, Gamertag Radio, Kind of Funny, or you're just Joe Gamer that spent your $70 and picked it up at the store and played it, and you hop on Twitter and give your opinion. It's an opinion. At the end of the day, all our opinions are the same, you know, as far as value goes. My opinion is no better than anyone else's, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how you got to look at it. You either trust my opinion for, hey, I tend to align with what Paris says, or you're like, man, screw that guy. I never agree with him, and you don't listen to me. And that's all you can do when it comes to a gaming opinion. So I just saw a lot of the controversy over the last couple of days with that. People like literally getting upset that a certain outlet would give Callisto, as an example, a certain score and being outraged by it. It's like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. The one thing about this industry, and this goes beyond gaming, this goes into movies and everything else, I hate that there's scores. I really do. Because what do they really mean? I could care less that Pentiment got a 89. Does it matter? It only matters if I enjoy the game. I really could care less about the score and the fact that bonuses and all these other things are tied into these silly scores. You know, it's just, it's something I wish would go away from the industry. And, you know, I know we'll talk about the Game Awards in just a second, but, you know, I would rather just celebrate games for what they are versus trying to put an actual number on it. Is it, did you enjoy it or did you not enjoy it? I mean, to me, it's really that simple.
No, well, 100% agree with you. I'll mention this. Like I finished also Sonic Frontiers before it came out. I was playing that like every day. And there was people that were coming into my house, like visiting and everything, right? And I'll show them, oh yeah, this is the new Sonic. First of all, the soundtrack, one of the best soundtracks of this year, hands down, in my opinion. But with Sonic, it had that Dreamcast feel, right? The camera not working right, all this stuff, right? Like, it's a Sega game. But I had a great time with that game. Like, so much fun. So much fun, right? Another thing, too, Paris, I want to mention is it is wild to me that a lot of people were excited about God of War Ragnarok, right?
Mm-hmm.
Play the game, love the game, story's fantastic, right? But the thing that drives me crazy is when I see, let's say a site, let's just make believe, give it an 8 out of 10, let's just make believe, right? People get upset about that too. They're like, no, it has to be a 10 without even them playing the game, first of all. Now they get mad because the website gave it a lower score and it's not a perfect score. Does that really matter? That's the thing I'm trying to, like, does a game of your favorite company, fairy game, or a game that you're super hype, does it need to get a perfect score? No, at the end of the day, if you're having fun with the game, that's all that matters. It doesn't, a number is just a number. Everybody's going to have a different opinions, man. You know, like when I got to see the reviews of Callisto Protocol, there was some that was really high, some that was really low, and that never changed my opinion. I'm like, oh, cool, that's really good to see. Like, the game is getting mixed reviews. People are talking about it, you know? I had a great time. At the end of the day, my opinion matters most, more than anything else. Paris, your opinion matters most than anybody else. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, it's not, you don't need an outlet to convince you the game is good or not without playing it. You go and play the game or wait until the price goes low and try it out. For example, Sonic Frontiers came out. It was a high price, right? During Black Friday, it was cheap and people bought it and now other people are enjoying it. You get what I'm saying? So It's good to just wait and see, play it, and you decide if the game is good or not, you know? So,
as a matter of fact, like another example from yesterday, I said, and it was just interesting seeing the comments. I said, in my opinion, Super Mario Bros. And, you know, I've said this a million times, but Super Mario Bros. 3 is the greatest game ever made. You know, and I gave my reasons why. And then, and again, I'm saying my opinion. I'm not saying that it's a fact. And it's just so fascinating to see how people, the range of people that just vehemently want to disagree with you and are upset that you have an opinion about something. It's like, you can have whatever you think is the greatest game of all time. I'm not going to come to your house and slap the phone out your hand for tweeting it, right? Just say what you want. It doesn't matter because it's what you think. It's what you believe. I can just give my opinion. I'm like, I think it's the greatest game ever made for X, Y, and Z, right? Mm-hmm. You can disagree with that and say, well, I think this game is the best because of X, Y, and Z. That's fine, because at the end of the day, it's an opinion. And that's what makes gaming so great. You're always going to have differing opinions when it comes to that, because this medium is so subjective. There's no right or wrong answer when it comes to any of that stuff. So I think if we could get that mindset going more with, when you look at game reviews and you look at, like you said, this is going to be a big year for gaming. Like I jokingly said, oh, we're all going to agree on Spider-Man 2. Guarantee you we don't. Guarantee you there's going to be something about Spider-Man 2 that people are going to be upset about, or people are going to overly praise or whatever. But that's the point. There's something in gaming for everybody. There's no right or wrong answer about what's good, bad, or different. Now, look, if there's just a technical glitchy, buggy mess, obviously that's something we're all going to agree on. But if a game is optimized and it's playable from start to finish, it's up to you to decide what the enjoyment factor on that's going to be. You know, I can't force you to like something, just like I can't force you to not like something. Like, you know, I'll say again really quick, like that whole Last of Us Part One thing and the whole $70 thing. And obviously, you know, people got mad at me over the summer about my opinion on that. At no point did I tell anybody to not go spend their money and play that game. Do what you want. I just said, I'm not doing it because why are you remaking this? Again, I'm not trying to relitigate it, but that's part of my point. It's an opinion. That's it. At no point will me or you or Pete ever tell anyone how to spend their money. We can only say what we would do, and then you can judge that accordingly. That's it.
Yeah.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, we're going to talk about our sponsor here, Gamertag Radio, and that's ExpressVPN. It is shocking to me that in 2022, every parent has installed ExpressVPN on their kids' devices. Like, you wouldn't let your kids walk home from school without telling them not to talk to strangers. So why would you let them go online without using ExpressVPN? You see, every device, phone, computers, tablet has a unique IP address, which is like an internet phone number, and it reveals personal information about you, like where you live. Who knows what kind of creeps could physically track your kids down using their IP addresses. So ExpressVPN is an app that hides your real IP addresses and you replace it with a dummy one, keeping you safe and private. First of all, it's very easy to use. Just download ExpressVPN app on your phone or computer, tap one button to turn it on, and you're protected. And here's the coolest part about ExpressVPN that lets you choose what country you want your IP address to look like it's coming from. This is very, very super useful. Because like services like Netflix and Disney Plus give you different shows depending where you're located at. You know, I know Pete been using this for a while too, and he lives in over there in Switzerland and so on. So, and he's been very vocal about ExpressVPN, and he loves using this product. So, GTR listeners, secure your family's online activity and unlock tons of new shows by visiting ExpressVPN.com/GTR. Use our code and you could get 3 extra months totally for free. That's ExpressVPN.com/GTR. Once again, ExpressVPN.com/GTR to learn more.
This is Gamertag Radio.
I'm going to give a perfect example. People talk a lot about Red Dead Redemption 2. Praise 10 out of 10. I really didn't enjoy the game. I really didn't. It's not. It was not for me. I'm happy that everybody's having a great time with the game, and I just move on. I don't go out there and bash others that are liking the game. Another game that I feel, and look, this is a really recent game, and it's not for me. Pentiment. It's not for me. I tried the whole. No, it's not for me. I can't play it. And I love Obsidian. Like, I love all the games. I love Grounded. I love the Outer Worlds. Like, but that game is not for me. But there's people out there that are having a great time with the game. And at the end of the day, that's what matters most, man. If there's people out there that are having a great time, that's it. That's it. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
All this bashing others because of different opinions, that needs to stop, man. That's not really helping. Like, Paris, the other day I tweeted, I love the Xbox Series S. I have two Xbox Series S and one Xbox Series X. And I've been playing a lot, also PC, right? But I've been playing a lot of Series S, man. And there was people bashing me. Oh, why? That's holding gaming back. I'm like, what? How's that holding gaming back? There's going to be a crowd out there can't afford a Series X, but a Series S, they could afford it because it's a lot cheaper. And now they could come to the community and play all these games and try out, you know, Xbox Game Pass and all this other stuff. You know, like, that to me what matters most, man. There's people that like mobile games. I don't bash them. That's helping the industry. That's helping developers to people that are marketing, PR, to get a job and make money. And there's people that are having a great time playing all these games. Marvel Snap, for example. That's an amazing game. A lot of people are having a great time. Not for me. You get what I'm saying? So The important thing is everybody's going to have different opinions about it. That's all. You can't bash others for enjoying what they've been playing, you know? So, all right. So we're going to move on. Paris, I know there's a lot of news going on about the Game Awards. Actually, let me fix my camera. Here you go. So I read, actually, this morning, and maybe this is part of the Twitter spaces. I'm not sure. You tell me because you were there. That the Game Awards is going to be shorter this year than previous years. Now, I'm happy about that. I'm happy about that because I felt like watching this at home and being there for the first time in person, those were really long. That was a very, very long show. I'm excited about the awards, the whole celebration, like trailer announcements, everything like that. But I feel like making it a little bit shorter, it's good too. It's not a bad thing, you know. So I'm glad that they're making that Jeff has decided to make it shorter. That's good. So what other things that he talked about during the session too?
Well, first of all, thank me, because I'm the one that got that soundbite out of him. By the way, just so you know, it's your boy. Okay, oh, I did okay. That. Okay. No, but I'd asked him a couple different things on there, and yeah, he did talk about the fact that they're streamlining it this year and they're shortening it up because, you know, and yo, you and I even last year we're saying it's like, man, it's kind of long, right?
My butt fell asleep.
Yeah. So the fact that he's shortening the show and he even said, you know, they're going to go through rehearsals this week before he can officially like say, all right, the Game Awards is going to be this time. But the aim is to shorten it up versus what they've done, because, you know, the criticism about, oh, there's too many ads or you're not enough award announcements or, you know, too many world. Like he's been taking all that feedback in and trying to condense the show to make it more streamlined, which is a good thing. You know, I had even said that to him. Mm-hmm. Other thing I'd asked him about was, you know, because there's been the controversy about, you know, what games get cut off, you know, from the award show that should have been. So I straight up asked him, I go, can you help us understand why you have the show in December and you don't just push it back to like January, February? That way, December 31st can be the cutoff for games. So it is truly a calendar year for when, you know, you have the award show. And his explanation was kind of threefold on that. And it makes sense. Ultimately, he goes, if you go and look at the other award shows, they're not calendar year shows either. Right. He goes, he also having it early December, he likes being the first award show for the year versus you'll see other ones come through with their announcements. And he goes, he understands the cutoff date, you know, for certain games. He goes, but if you go back in the history of it, we tend to get 90% of everything in every year versus, you know, last couple of years, people, you know, were kind of upset about like something like Forza Horizon 5. Even this year, the fact that Pentiment wasn't a part of it, you know, your mileage may vary, but like Callisto Protocol, High on Life, they're not going to be a part of the award show. Halo Infinite wasn't a part of it last year either as examples. So he's like, he gets it, but it just works out better this way overall. He said, plus a lot of the other publishers like that there's this end of the year show and, you know, they can kind of have the celebration, and the fact that they tie in world premieres into it, it's nice to kind of get those out at the end of the year versus trying to do them at the beginning of the year when you're trying to reset and start talking about some of the new games that are coming out in the first quarter of the year. So, you know, you can't please everybody when it comes to that. You know, he goes, we feel like they're mostly getting it right. But, you know, to his point, they're always listening to feedback. They're always looking to improve the show. But he goes, as far as the way it is right now, airing, you know, in like the first or second week of December, he doesn't see that changing anytime soon, you know, for the reasons that he outlined. So it made sense to me, you know, him talking about it.
Yeah, I'm excited for the awards, man. Can't wait to see everybody there. Like, to me, and you're right, the awards is a way for us to celebrate all the wins that everybody been having throughout the year.
Can I pause you real quick? Just to answer the chat thing. He did say the Oscars is the only one that's calendar year, but he goes, you look at the rest of them, they're not. Sorry. I just want to put that out there.
Wait,
did
what
say
was the, that.
Because someone in the chat was saying the Oscars is calendar year, so he's wrong. But no, he did say that. He did clarify that. I just forgot to mention that when I was saying it. But go ahead.
Okay, cool. Yeah, did he mention anything about, like, you know, any hints of like trailers? So that, is that something we just find out once we're there, or maybe a couple of days before he'll make some teases or what?
Here's what I'll say. If you wanted to know all that stuff, you should have been there and asked him yourself.
Wow. Yo, first of all, I'm just having a conversation with you. There's people that don't have the time to join, and I'm one of those people, and I'm asking questions because there's a lot of people that listen to the show that would like to know. What's your problem? You see, people, I come in peace. I don't start.
You know what it is? You know what it is? It's the mean stuff you said to me in the chat yesterday that hurt my feelings. So this is my revenge.
You want me to read what you wrote to me?
No, I do not. No, let's keep it going.
Okay, because I'll put it out there.
Well, it's funny because he did say, I'm trying to remember exactly how he said.
Yeah.
But he did, you know, obviously he doesn't want to give up any surprises or anything. But, you know, he was saying that, you know, there's some stuff, you know, that they were obviously able to get, some things he wanted to get that they couldn't get, so to speak. But, you know, he feels really good about the show, about what they're going to be able to, you know, world premiere, stuff like that. So we'll see. Which, you know, conspiracy time.
Uh-oh.
Going back to Keon's voicemail when he talked about Xbox not having anything, them making the show shorter. Are they making it shorter because Xbox isn't going to be a present there? Dun, dun, dun.
You see, that's how it starts, Barris. Start with the conspiracy Steve stuff. You're doing that, man. Nah. Yeah. Nah. Yeah, I think I'm trying to think if there's anything else I'm the questions when it comes to like the Game Awards. So no teases, barely some here and there. But he says he's very excited for this one compared to previous years. Is it because 2023 is going to be a big year in gaming?
I think it is. I think 2023 has the potential. Shout out Vampire Survivors. Somebody in chat. I think 2023 has the potential to, I'm not saying it's going to be 1998. I'm not going to say it's 2007, but I think the amount of games, because of the pandemic, so many things got delayed that you just got to start getting them out now. This should be a banner year for releases. You know, obviously we'll see when they come out how good they are. But just the amount of games that are going to be coming from Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo, and obviously third parties and indies, you know, it might be unprecedented, really. If anything, I think there's probably going to be a worry for some of these bigger games about them basically cannibalizing each other. You know, almost like that Titanfall 2 situation that we had back in the day where you just got too many of the same things coming out all at once, right? You can only play so many games, you know, who gets, you know, lost in the shuffle. But yeah, I do think I personally think, and I don't know anything, I think we'll definitely have some pretty awesome world premieres. And look, there may or may not be one. We 100% know that they're going to show that people are going to be surprised about when they see it. But yeah, I think it's going to be a good year. I think it'll be a good show. Some decent announcements, and you know, big year for 2023.
Well, breaking news, Paris.
Yes.
Breaking news. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Hideo Kojima was an In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, man. Greg freaking tagged me on that on Instagram.
On showing me places. That.
And then I saw like Kojima's like personal assistant tweeting that. And I quote tweeted and I was like, somehow, some way, Greg is responsible for this. I don't know how. I don't know who lied to Kojima and told him to eat an In-N-Out was good. But I guarantee he ate it and it was like, oh, this is terrible. I guarantee he said it.
Hey, like we were saying earlier, everybody has an opinion.
Everybody has an opinion. Hey, and my opinion is In-N-Out is not good. There's go somewhere else. You might as well just go to freaking McDonald's. You can go to In-N-Out. Same thing.
It's all good. Anything else, Paris? Anything else from like the topics and everything like that? Anything else before we wrap it up?
No, I mean, look, you know, being serious for a second, you know, excited for the Game Awards next week. Obviously, you and I will be hanging out, Reed, just everybody that's going to be there. Really looking forward to that because it's that one time of the year, especially since the pandemic, where the industry can come together and we all get to hang out, celebrate gaming, you know, see a bunch of people we haven't seen in a long time. So I'm really looking forward to that. I mean, I'll just be 100% honest with you. The only reason I'm going to the Game Awards in person is the people. I want to be there to hang out with people in person. That's the reason that I'm going to go. But really looking forward to it. Should be a great night. Yeah, man, it's going to be good. Obviously, you know, I'll say again, Portal Party on December 6th. Make sure you go check that out on NVIDIA's Twitch channel at 10 a.m. Pacific. And yeah, should be a good time.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. Look, I already have my outfit ready. Rhea has hers.
I don't, by the way. I have
go with a tank top.
I have no idea what I'm wearing. Zero idea. I don't know.
Paris, tank top. There you go. Yeah. You just wear that and just go. You know, that's it. What are people gonna say to your face?
Yeah,
you should be dressed up like this.
I'll never forget that. That was hilarious. Someone was offended that in June, in the summer in Southern California, how dare I wear a tank top outside? Oh my God.
Yeah, to E3. Yeah, I remember that. I'll never forget. This picture's like, if you go back to the old tweets, you see Paris, like the pictures of him doing interviews with a tank top.
Yeah.
Funny, man. Yeah, so everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Gamer Tag Radio. In a couple of weeks, we're going to take some time off
again
because we do this every year because of the holidays.
You surprised me. I didn't know that.
No? No? That's a lie. Just like the cake.
Yeah.
Just like the cake. The cake is a lie. No, but everyone, thank you so much for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. By the way, next year is going to be a big year, not only in gaming, but also for GTR. Actually, we're turning 18, Paris. 18 years old next year. Legal. Gamer Tag Radio is going to be finally legal. 18 years old. Wow, man. Insane. So that's next year. By the way, go back and listen to all the episodes if you can. Once again, shout out to every single person that's been listening to Gamer Tag Radio this year. I got to see the stats to Spotify because of the Spotify Wrapped. Great year. Listenership grew a bit. And yeah, it says we're like in the top 5% out of all the podcasts. So that's good. That's really, really good. So shout out to everyone, man. Also, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You could also share the content, post a review, subscribe through any podcast app out there. Just search for GamerTag Radio. It will help us out a lot. So also, if you would like to be part of a family discussion, I don't want to just be one voicemail throughout the show. I would like to hear multiple. This is your opportunity to send us questions. We could answer them. And we could even do a whole Q&A episode, fan mail episode. But it all depends on you guys. This is how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions.
206-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're out here. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Vampire Survivors got robbed. It should have been the game of the year discussion. Bye.
Hey, hey, Vampire Survivors, legit.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.